We have been discussing the status of a mu'min in light of the Quran, in light of the hadith, what value a mu'min has, and how we ought to, our behavior and attitude towards a mu'min ought to be. The hadith we find as far as support, compassion, and love. مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم كمثل جسد واحد. That the example of the believing people with regards to having love for each other and having mercy upon each other is like the example of one body. What a beautiful example Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives, that if one part of the body aches, then entire body will ache, and the entire body will respond with sahri wal humma, that with fever and with remaining awake. For example, if a person has an earache, then what happens, we find sometimes he will become afflicted with fever and the entire night he is restless and he can't sleep. Yet it is only one part of the body that is aching, but we find that the entire body responds to that one part. Similar is the example of the believers as far as their love for each other is concerned, as far as their mercy for each other is concerned. When one part of the ummah is afflicted, then that pain is felt throughout the ummah. The entire ummah feels the difficulty, the hardship, the torment, the anxiety of the difficulty that one part of the ummah is experiencing. Now the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us, Al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan yashuddu ba'duhu ba'da, that the mu'min for another mu'min is like a building. How some of it strengthens and supports the other part of it. Similarly, like the bricks are put together and they support each other and strengthen the building, similar is one mu'min for the next mu'min. يَفِدُّ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا, that he assists his mu'min, he strengthens his mu'min brother. Here again we should remember, does not mean we have to have the same color or the same language or must be from the same country. The word mu'min is mentioned, which means it is gender. It can be a mu'min from any country, from any part of the world, from any language group, from any color. The fact that he has iman, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, then this should be our relationship, that we should strengthen him, assist him, support him. This is how Islam has taught us, and that is why the Muslims are knows, inna hadhi ummatukum ummatu wahida, this is one ummah and one brotherhood, no matter who we are and where we are. That's why this example of the body is very, very beautiful and very, very deep in the meaning. What I have mentioned, then Rasulullah gives the example of the body. Now if you look at the body is composed of different parts, and every part has different function, and every part is a different location. The eyes are right on the top, and the eyes are for viewing and for looking. The feet are right at the bottom, and they are for walking, moving from one point to the other point. So the eyes look different from the feet. The eyes' location is different from the feet. The eyes' function is different from the feet. But yet we find that they're all united. The eye will look for the feet. If there's some pain on the feet, some sore on the feet, the eye will go and see where is it aching, where is it paining, it will support the feet. Similarly, the eyes are paining, you have to go to the doctor, the feet will support the eyes, it will start walking. The hands will support the eyes. Everything else will support the eyes. Similarly, in the ummah we will find people are different. They have different locations, they stay in different countries. They look different, their colors are different, their functions are different, and their status are also different. But yet we find they are supposed to be united, like a one physical body is united, the head supporting the leg supporting the hand supporting the heart, etc. All are united in their support for each other, and they are all supporting each other and helping each other and assisting each other. This is how the Muslim Ummah is supposed to be, despite their differences, despite the different colors, despite the different languages, despite the different potentials, despite the different expertise that they have, the different professions they are. But they are supposed to be like one body, united. But today, unfortunately, sometimes it is color that is made as a different, sometimes it is a language group, sometimes it is a location. I come from Africa, you come from certain country, so we are different. Sometimes it is a profession, I am a doctor, I am an engineer, I am a certain person, you are different. No, supposed to be like one ummah. This is what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us. Further we find in the hadith that apart from that, making dua for the Muslim ummah, making dua for the Muslim brother, also brings a lot of merit in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned that that dua that is accepted, أَسْرَعُ dua ijabatan, dua غَائِبٍ لِغَائِبٍ. And this today we find the most common sentence in a Muslim is, Don't forget me in your du'as. Make sure that you make du'a for me. Please make du'a for me. Yet we find the thing that is most often forgotten is to make du'a for your Muslim brother. The sentence that is most often spoken is asking for du'as. And the thing that is most often carried out is making du'a for that person. If you know the value of the du'a, firstly, as far as acceptance is concerned, we are informed in the hadith that أَسْرُ du'a إِجَابَةً دُوَاءُ غَائِبٍ لِغَائِبٍ. The du'a that is most quickly accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is du'a for a person, for his Muslim brother that's absent. I am sitting here making du'a for a person that I met yesterday or met somebody in New York. He asked me to make du'a, I lift my hands and I make du'a for him. So this du'a is definitely to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what do we get? How valuable is this mu'min in the sight of Allah? What do I get for this? It is mentioned in the hadith that a person makes du'a for his Muslim brother who is absent. There is an angel appointed there that says, Ameen, walaka bi mislin. Ameen, let it be so. You are asking for good health, you are asking for safety, you are asking for security, for example, for the Muslim brother. The farishta says, Ameen. And then he says, walaka bi mislin. I make du'a for my Muslim brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints an angel to make du'a for me. This is the value of the du'a for a Muslim brother, that Allah appoints an angel who is free from sins, whose du'a are definitely accepted, to make du'a for me. So by making du'a for our Muslim brothers, in fact we are doing ourselves a favor as well, because an angel is appointed from the side of Allah to make du'a for us. Further, it is mentioned in one hadith, if a person makes du'a for the Muslim believers 27 times a day, then he will become mustajab al-da'wat. He will become mustajab al-da'wat, all his du'as will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's different ways. Some say, just read Allahumma ighfirli wa lil-mu'minin wa lil-mu'minat. Some say, read the du'a of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Rabbi ighfirli wa liwalidayhi wa lil-mu'minin yawma yaqumu al-hisab. Read this 27 times a day with this intention that I'm making du'a for the ummah. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you mustajab al-da'wat. There's a riwayat to this effect. Similarly, it's mentioned, when a person makes du'as for the believers, then no matter how many they are, he gets that amount of sawab. If a person says, Ya Allah, forgive the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the ummah is like we estimate today, about 1 billion people, then he gets 1 billion sawab for making dua for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if he says, Oh Allah, I make dua for the believing men and the believing women, those that are living and those that passed away, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how many, maybe millions or billions of people have left this dunya in a state of iman. So me and you will get that amount of reward that is equivalent to the number of the believers, whether they are living or whether they have passed away. So all these are things that are very simple actions, but it just shows the value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of this believing person. Another very great action is to please a Muslim, to please your Muslim brother. And the least a person can do is smile at him and say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Especially if he's a stranger, this brings so much joy and happiness in the heart of a Muslim brother. But today, if you greet a Muslim brother with a smile, he has a suspicious thought about you, that maybe this person wants to ask me for a donation, or maybe he wants something, or maybe he has mistaken me for somebody, because why is he smiling? But in the hadith it mentioned that you're smiling in the face of a Muslim brother is also a sadaqah, is also a form of charity. In one hadith is mentioned, إِنَّ مِنْ مُجِبَاتِ الْمَغْفِرَةِ إِدْخَالَكَ السُّرُورِ فِي قَلْبِ فِي أَخِيكَ الْمُؤْمِنِ فِي أَخِيكَ الْمُسْلِمِ أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that from the things that will bring about your maghfirat and your forgiveness is to enter some pleasure and happiness into the heart of your Muslim brother. To make him please will bring about your forgiveness. In one hadith is mentioned, أَحَبُّ الْعَمَالِ بَعْدَ الْفَرَائِزِ, the most best of actions after the faraiz is إِدْخَالُ السُّرُورِ فِي الْمُسْلِمِ فِي قَلْبِ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَفِي أَخِيكَ الْمُسْلِمِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that among the best actions after the faraiz is that you please your Muslim brother. So pleasing your Muslim brother also warrants great amount of sawab and merit in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is so simple, to smile with him, to talk with him. You don't have to do too much to please him sometime. As I mentioned, just to make a salam with the Muslim brother with a smiling face, bring about happiness in his heart. Similarly, we find that mentioned in one hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمُنَ إِخْوَى, that the Muslims are brothers to each other. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says, الْمُسْلِمُ أَخُوَ الْمُسْلِمُ, that a Muslim is a brother of the next Muslim. لَا يَسْلِمُهُ وَلَا يُسْلِمُهُ, لَا يَسْلِمُهُ, he does not oppress him. وَلَا يُسْلِمُهُ, he does not give him over, hand him over to the enemy, or he does not leave him out when he is in need of assistance. And man kana fi hajat akhi kana Allah fi hajatihi. Whomsoever is fulfilling the need of his Muslim brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills his needs. Wa man nafasa muslimin kurbatan nafasa Allah anhu kurbat them in Qurubat Yawm al-Qiyamah. Whomsoever takes away a difficulty, a hardship, an anxiety, a thing of worry and concern from a Muslim, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it so much that He will take away the hardships and difficulties from us on the Day of Judgment. Can you imagine the difficulties of the Day of Judgment, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accountability, going over the Pul Sirat, etc., and getting our book of deeds in the right hand, all these difficult positions that will come, just fulfilling the need, taking away the calamity of the Muslim in this dunya, sometimes giving him a few dollars, sometimes carrying him his things, sometimes making a phone call for him, sometimes taking him to some hospital or the shopping area, etc., fulfilling some calamity that has befallen him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill, or take away one calamity from the calamities of the Day of Judgment. وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. We see some fault, some weakness, some shortcoming in our Muslim brother. We overlook it. Or what we do, we put a veil and a parda over it. We do not discuss it with anybody else. And we conceal it from other people. What will we get for that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal us on that day when the awwaleen and akhirin will be there. The people from the beginning till the end, all of them will be standing in the plains of Hashr and on the plains of Hashr, and the time when everybody will be there, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal our faults before all of them. Imagine what a great reward from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for concealing the fault of a mu'min. Then we find further, in order to consolidate this more, we find there are various rights that are mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding one Muslim over a non-Muslim. One hadith is mentioned that إِذَا لَقِيْتَهُ فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ. When you meet your Muslim brother, then make salam to him. Make salam to him. This is a right. حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمَ الْمُسْلِمِ سِتٌ. Or كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. A right of one Muslim over the next Muslim, there are basically six rights. The first right here mentioned this hadith, that when you meet him, إِذَا لَقِيْتَهُ فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ. Make salam to him. Now you are not making salam to him only because you know him, he's staying in this area, he's staying here for a long time, you are staying here for a long time. That should not be the basis of the salam. The basis of the salam is, this is my Muslim brother. But this is the basis of the salam, that whether the brother is staying here, whether he comes from India, whether he comes from some other country, wherever he comes from, the fact that he's a Muslim, when you look at him, you will say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Why? Because it's a right over you, and he's a Muslim brother. He has iman. But today, unfortunately, what happens? Our salam also is for those people that we know, for all acquaintances. If we find a stranger standing right next to us, sometimes we find a person is not concerned about him, does not even greet him. This is forsaking the right of a Muslim brother. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that this is his right, we should ensure. In fact, in one hadith is mentioned that from the signs of Qiyamah will be this, that people will only greet those people that they know. Whereas in the hadith we find, Alam al-arafta wa man lam ta'rif. Make salam to those people that you know and that you do not even know. Make salam to them. And the salam is treated very lightly. In our society we find salam is like a very small thing. Whereas it's mentioned in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that you will not enter into Jannah hatta tu'minu. Till you do not have iman, you cannot enter into paradise. Wala tu'minu hatta tahabu. And you cannot have perfect iman till you do not have mutual love for each other. Till you do not love each other, your iman cannot be perfected. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, أَفَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Shall I not show you something, that if you carry that out, then this mutual love will be generated in your hearts. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Spread the salam amongst you. If you spread the salam, make the salam a custom amongst you, this will become a means of this mutual love amongst you. And when you have the mutual love amongst you, this will become a means of the perfection of your iman. And when you have a perfect iman, then you enter into paradise. Look from way to way. Salam here is contributing to the person entering into paradise, because it builds up the love for each other. And the more the love we have for each other, the more perfect our iman is. And the more perfect our iman is, inshallah, the more chances we have, or inshallah, then we'll enter into paradise. So this should be a custom amongst us. We should make it a habit amongst us. Any Muslim brother we meet, no matter who he is, sometimes it's customary that you greet a person that's very wealthy. You greet a person that's very prominent. You greet a person that's very well known. But that person, that simple person, nobody knows him. He is a stranger in the area. Nobody is prepared to make salam to that person. Makes him feel so unwanted in the Islamic society, where his salam is based on him being a mu'min. And this deserves that we greet him. Then another thing we have noticed is, in this society, some people, maybe out of ignorance or not knowing, when this person is greeted with Assalamu Alaikum, he also says Assalamu Alaikum. You tell him Assalamu Alaikum, he tells you Assalamu Alaikum. I don't know whether he's following the Western custom of good morning and good morning, or whether he does not know. When a person says Assalamu alaikum, the greeting is Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we should also make the salam in the proper manner. The proper salam is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This also is called Assalamu alaikum and Malaikum Salam. Different words here. Such a simple greeting. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was created, was told to him, go to the angels, greet them. Whatever they will reply, that will be the greeting of your ummah. And this word salam is used not only from among the believers, even the angel will say, Salamun alaykum tibtum, that you have done very good. Even from the side of Allah, Salamun qawlan min Rabbir Rahim, the word salam is used. And what is the salam? It is not a simple thing. It is such a comprehensive word that there is no other denomination that has such a comprehensive word. You meet your Muslim brother and you say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That may peace be upon you. May peace be upon you wa rahmatullahi, the mercy of Allah, wa barakatuh, and the blessings of Allah. What is this? It's a dua of one mu'min for another mu'min. You are making dua that Allah Ta'ala must grant his peace, his mercy, his blessings upon your Muslim brother. And that person makes dua for you. Otherwise, if you go out and greet people, let's assume you greet 10 people or 15 people or 50 people for the day, then 50 people are making dua for you and you make dua for 50 people. Physical dua. And the best thing that you're asking for, peace, mercy of Allah, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on whomsoever there is peace and there is blessings and mercy of Allah, then you can imagine what a good position that person is. And you made dua for 50 people and they replied your salam, they also made dua for you. Secondly, it reminds the person about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, that man can do nothing, everything's from the side of Allah. Thirdly, it's like you are consoling your Muslim brother that your wealth, your property, your life is at peace as far as I am concerned. There's no danger whatsoever from my side for you. So salam is a very small word, but it has a connotation that is very wide. Similarly, once in the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one sahabi came and said, Assalamu alaikum. Rasulullah s.a.w. mentioned 10. Then another sahabi came and said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Rasulullah s.a.w. said 20. Then the third sahabi came and said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rasulullah s.a.w. said 30. Thereafter he explained that this person, when he said Assalamu alaikum, he got 10 rewards. When that person said Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, he got 20 rewards. And then the third person came and said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, he got 30 rewards. So when it comes to financial or finances, then we know how it increases. But when it comes to reward, it's so easy. Imagine a person who says Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, he has 30 rewards. They multiply it by 50 times a day. How much does it come to? Just for making salam to a Muslim brother, there's so much reward. Further, we find another effect of salam is this. In the hadith is mentioned, al-badiyu bi salam bari'u min al-kibr. That person that initiates the salam, that begins the salam, is bari, is free. Badiyu min al-kibr, he is free from pride. Imagine here, Rasulullah s.a.w. tells us, that person that greets first, he is free from pride. Otherwise, this is a manner to free our hearts from pride, is to greet the person first. We have great mushaykh that never used to give a chance to anybody to greet first. Whenever they are seen, they used to greet them. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have an Egyptian teacher. Another thing also mentioned, ifshaw salam means to make the salam a custom amongst you. Why not salam be a custom? The people mentioned, kasrat se kya jaye, it must be done in abundance. We had an Egyptian teacher, I still remember, you will know when he comes into the institute, you will recognize him from his salam. Any person he sees, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. You see him showering the people up with the salams. Imagine how clear his heart may be of kibar and pride, because he's initiating the salam, not giving the next man to make salam. Here sometime a person, when he sees a stranger, he waits for him to make the initiative. Take the initiative to make salam. No, we should be the first one to make salam. Smile with them as your Muslim brother, and inshallah this will burn up our mutual love and this will increase our iman, inshallah. Further, we also have the second line that is mentioned here in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is this, that when he invites you, then fa'ajibhu. If he invites you, then accept his invitation. Here again, it is the right of that woman over you to accept his invitation with one proviso, that he does not invite you to such places wherein there is a sin and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, unfortunately, there are some functions that are filled with the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then here again, that rule will override this, that la ta'ata li makhlukin fi ma'siyatil khaliq. It is not permissible for you to show any obedience to anyone of the creation in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like we have mentioned the principle of shirk, you have to be obedient to your parents, but to a certain level, not in the disobedience of Allah, not at the expense of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should accept an invitation, provided there is nothing there that will wherein they will be breaking the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you should accept the invitation that He gives you. Third verse is mentioned here, وَإِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ وَإِذَا دَعَوْكَ فَعَجِبُ وَإِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ فَانْصَحْ لَهُ. If he asks you for any advice, for any nasiha, for any counsel, then give him good counsel and give him good advice. In other words, whatever he comes to you, when he comes to you for good advice, then it is your duty as a Muslim brother to give him good advice and to advise him, and you should have his goodwill and his well-being at heart when he asks you for any good advice. Fourthly, it is mentioned that وَإِذَا عَتَسَ فَحَمِدَ اللَّهَ فَشَمِّتْهُ. That if he sneezes, after he sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, then فَشَمِّتْهُ say يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ. We all know when a person sneezes, he says Alhamdulillah. The person that hears him says يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ, and then this person says يَهْدِيكَ اللَّهُ or يَهْدِيكُمُ اللَّهُ. This is the etiquette when a person sneezes. So here it is mentioned the hadith, it is a right of the Muslim. After he sneezes and if he says Alhamdulillah, then you should say يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ. This is his right. This is the fourth right. The fourth right is mentioned وَإِذَا مَرِضَ فَعُنْهُ. When he falls sick, then go and visit him. Go and visit him. This also, this custom and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this right of a mu'min, we find is not followed to a great extent. People feel, when you tell them certain person is sick, he says, I don't know that person. I don't know him. You don't have to know him. The fact that he's a Muslim and he's sick, you should go and visit him. And what will you get? Forget only being his right. It's mentioned in the hadith that a person goes and visits a Muslim, a sick person, then 70,000 angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make dua for that person. Can you imagine? Not one or two, 70,000 angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make dua for that person that goes to visit a sick person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you look in the riwayat, he had gone to so many sahaba, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, one below person from the villager who was sick, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had went. Up to this extent, that one riwayat is mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gone, there was a Jewish boy that used to make the khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had gone to go and visit the Jewish boy when he had fallen sick. This was the Mubarak akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is mentioned in the riwayat that he had given him dawah to accept Islam. This little boy looked at his father and his father said, respond, Ati Abu al-Qasim, be obedient to Abu al-Qasim. Thereafter, this person accepts the dawah and accepts the shahada, and he passes away just so shortly after that. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has saved one person from the fire of Jahannam because of me. So this was the noble akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to go and visit the sick people. We should also make sure that we go and visit the sick people. Not only will 70,000 angels make dua for us, but it's mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us a garden in paradise as well. Some riwayats is mentioned, as long as the person is sitting at the sick person's side, it is as if he is plucking fruit from the gardens of paradise. One riwayat is mentioned, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, oh my servant, I was sick, you never came to visit me. I was hungry, you never fed me. This person will say, Ya Rabbul Alameen, oh Lord of the world, how is it possible that you were sick? How is it possible that you were hungry? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, certain slave of mine was sick and you did not go and visit him. If you went and visited him, you would have found me there. Certain person was hungry, you did not feed him. So here we find it is so important and significant. And imagine, you go and visit a sick person and you don't know him from anywhere. Imagine the love and the affection that is engendered by you going to visit him. How this ummah can be cemented and bonded together, how the hearts can be bonded together, these are the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that teach us that and show us that. When a person passes away, وَإِذَا مَاتَ فَاتَّبِعُهُ, that when he passes away, then follow his janazah. If a person follows the janazah of a person that passed away, then when he goes and read his janazah salat, he gets one qiraat. And one qiraat in some riwayat is equal to Mount Uhud. Mount Uhud in Sawab. According to some people, Mount Uhud is 11 kilometers, some say 13 kilometers. Can you imagine just being a party to the and participating in the janazah salat bring the person so much reward. How valuable is this moment in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the person accompanies him and goes to the graveyard, then he will get 2 qirats if he waits there till the burial takes place. So all these are rights that are mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are means of bonding this ummah, uniting this ummah, bringing love and affection in this ummah. Apart from that, we should not carry any negative action. Don't have any jealousy for our Muslim brothers, any hatred for them, don't belittle them, don't spy on them, don't look for their faults, etc. Person that looks for the faults of a Muslim brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace that person. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written up to 26 rights of a mu'min, one mu'min over another mu'min. And we should remember these rights are not because you know each other, not because you stay in the same area, not because you come from the same country, not because you speak the same language, because of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. He is a mu'min and I am a mu'min. He has up to 26 rights according to Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, and some of them I have written even more. And not only these actions, but a person should not even think bad about his Muslim brother. Never belittle his Muslim brother. One hadith is mentioned that this is sufficient sin for a person, that ayyuhaqqira akhahu al-Muslim, that he belittles him, he thinks low of him. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us guidance and tawfiq to value our Muslim brothers. These Muslim brothers sit by our side. If we fulfill their rights, then we can gain a lot in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.